name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Well, if there is one thing which God condemns through Jeremiah in today's Old Testament reading, it is the notion that you can be at peace with God when you are at peace with the sin in your life. The prophets, the false prophets, were going around telling the people, God loves you. It's going to be well with you. Don't worry about it. And they were saying this to people who despised the word of the Lord and who stubbornly followed the desires of their own hearts. But this is most definitely a case where you cannot have your cake and eat it too. You cannot cozy up to sin and cozy up to the living God. You cannot coddle the rebellions that live inside of your heart and still retain a living faith with the living God. So the antidote to this foolish dreaming of the prophets, by which they lulled the people into spiritual slumber and robbed them of their spiritual inheritance, is very clear. Let the prophet who has a dream tell his dream, but let the man who has my word speak my word faithfully. What has straw in common with wheat, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? So a fire of cleansing, that is the word of your God. A hammer that can smash your hard heart and break it into pieces. That is what the word of God can do. And nothing can stand up against that word when it is spoken faithfully. Oh, a person may rebel. They may say, fully on you, God. I don't care. I'm going to do what I want to do when I want to do it. But they can't escape the judgment that will fall. The fire will still burn. So, don't any of you here today imagine that you can live in peace with God and with your sin. And I'm telling you, if anyone suggests such a thing to you, they're just a false prophet, like the prophets who misled Israel. Israel found out the hard way that these preachers of peace, were only belly servers and deceivers. Nor is it just a case that this is an Old Testament problem. The problem runs right through the New Testament too. You heard Jesus in today's gospel tell you plainly that you have to beware of false prophets. And he says, they come to you all dressed out, decked out in sheep's clothing, but inside they're ravenous wolves. And he tells you how you can spot them. You will recognize them by their fruits. Now, some people think that means, well, you'll realize who a false prophet is by the way they live their lives. And I don't dispute. Sometimes that's true. But I think our Lord is making a very different point. The fruits of a false prophet are revealed by what happens when you believe his teaching. How does your life shape up if you listen to this false prophet and act on what he says? If you listen to the false prophets like Jeremiah encountered and you took to heart what they said to you, then you would be saying, oh, sweet! So, I can sin to my heart's content, and God's forgiven me. I got a get out of hell free card in my back pocket. I don't got to worry about it. That's how you can tell a false prophet if it leaves people in unrepentance for their sins, leaves their hearts in a state of rebellion and saying to God, no, I'm going to do my own thing. You just have to deal with it. Behold, a false prophet. Jesus could not be more blunt. Did he ever say scarier words? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. He tells you flat out that some will say to him on that day, Lord, did we prophesy in your name? Did we cast out demons and do all kinds of mighty works in your name? And then will come the sad reply, I never knew you. Go away from me, you workers of anomia, of lawlessness. Lawlessness. You who thought you could serve sin and still rejoice and enjoy my presence, do you not understand, he says? I am the destroyer of sin. I came to free you from its chains, not to strengthen you in its bonds. I went to my cross bearing the full load of your sin so that it could all be forgiven in the presence of my Father. I blotted out with the cost of my own blood the handwriting that was against you. And I have set you free from the curse of the law. And I did it at a terrible cost by becoming a curse for you. And all this I did for you, that you might not serve sin. I have obtained you as my own flock with my own blood. Did you hear it in that second reading? The blood of God. In harmony with both Jeremiah and our Lord, you heard Paul in that second reading warning the Ephesian elders that they had to take care. They had to watch, because even among themselves, people would arise who would teach twisted things, trying to draw disciples away from Jesus to separate them from the Good Shepherd. And what is more twisted than telling people, God forgives you, so go ahead and continue sinning and just don't worry about it. Instead, Paul does what every good pastor has to do. He commends them in prayer to God, and he commends them to the word of God's grace, because that's the word that's able to build them up and to give them the inheritance among all who are sanctified. So look, I'm talking to you. If you have been playing with sin, if you have been toying around with serving it and living in secret rebellion against God, if you've been holding on to a grudge, if you've been using your mouth to slander your neighbor, if you've been playing with porn and committing sexual sin, if you've been disobedient to the authorities God has established, if you've been a slave to food and drink, and if you've been thinking that you can do whatever you want and you still can cling to and enjoy the forgiveness and grace of God, well, wake up and hear the word of grace spoken to you today. You cannot have both sin and Jesus. But here is the incredible good news of God. Despite what you've been doing, he still wants you. You with all your fears, you with all of your no's to God, he still wants you. No matter how rebellious or sinful you have been, and he calls you to come to himself, the crucified one, so that he can wash you of that sin and free you. He comes to you anew today at this holy table, the one who is the death of sin and the death of death,
And he says, come to me and let me give you my forgiveness. Let me speak over you my absolution so that you can really be free from the chains of your sin, that you might be covered with my righteousness, and that by me uniting myself with you and pouring out into you my Holy Spirit, the good warfare may begin in your life against sin. People loved by God, every last one of you needs to beware of false prophets. You need to beware of anyone who suggests to you that it's okay to stay in your sin. You beware, and you run to Jesus, who delights to destroy the sin, to forgive it, and to save you. To whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.